Welcome to What's for Dinner, a radio show about food, cooking, and eating, and sharing favorite recipes from Petersburg, Alaska, and around the world. Brought to you by KFSK Community Supported Radio in Petersburg, Alaska. I'm your host, Mindy Anderson. Today, coming up on What's for Dinner, Sunday dinner, also falafel and the drink of the week. And we'll see what's going on with my sweet tooth. That's all coming up today on What's for Dinner. And welcome back to What's for Dinner. I'm your host, Mindy Anderson. I'm not a chef. I just love to cook. And this weekend, I haven't been feeling well like a lot of people, so I don't feel like I've been doing a lot of cooking lately. I really don't know what we've been eating at my house. A lot of quick pasta. Good thing my daughter likes pasta. Vegetables when you can grab them, and fruit, but not a lot of big meals, a lot of leftovers. I did make a good chicken cutlet with some fettuccine and lemon and capers the other night. That was delicious. It's pretty, that's what's nice about chicken breasts. You can always pound them down and flatten them out, and it only takes a couple minutes to cook a chicken breast on each side, and they don't have a lot of fat to them. You can pan sear them in your skillet, or you can bake them. You can also roll pesto or other vegetables and stuff into your chicken and then just tie it off and throw it in the oven and bake it. So chicken breasts are great, and with a little pasta on the side and some vegetables tossed in the pasta, that's always a quick night, weeknight meal. And then, of course, soups. And also did some entertaining this last week. Easy to make a lot of breakfast muffins for a large crowd. And you can make them the night before, so you can bake an omelet, or you can scramble up a bunch of eggs and then make an egg muffin that way, using just an English muffin and some ham. Put on some cheese and the egg and just wrap them up in some aluminum foil or some sort of wrap that you can put in the oven. Or you can just put them all on a cookie sheet and put foil over them. And then in the morning, all you have to do is just turn your oven on while you go in and take a shower and bake them at 350 for about a half an hour, and they'll get nice and hot, and the eggs heat up and the cheese melts and the ham warms up, and you have a bunch of egg muffins for a group. And that's a good way to feed a lot of people breakfast in a quick way. So did that this week. But last night just went to a wonderful dinner party, and I have all this great kale and thought, well, great, we'll just make a kale salad. And I love any excuse to use white beans, lima beans or cannellini beans. And I love cannellini beans. So they're just white pinto beans, basically. But I just love them in foods. So I just made a white bean and kale salad. Also made a little tahini dressing to go with that. And I had some leftover sourdough bread that I made some croutons with to toss with all of it. And didn't use any cheese in this salad. It's almost like kind of a Caesar salad, only using tahini instead of a Caesar dressing and eggs. So you need some cubed up day-old bread if you want to make your own croutons. And it's easy to make croutons. I just take a little olive oil into a skillet and throw the croutons in, and they soak up with the olive oil and they fry right in the skillet, and sprinkle on some salt and little red pepper flakes and garlic, whatever else you want to use, black pepper. Maybe you want to use a little bit of ground up rosemary, and that would be good too. So if you have a little spice blend, you can use that. And that's a good way to make croutons. Just keep your eye on them. You want to keep stirring them here and there. And then, so homemade croutons, great. If you don't have homemade croutons, don't worry about it. You could buy it in the store. But remember, don't throw that day-old bread away, especially if it's a good sourdough or some sort of a rustic bread. Sometimes when you're using sliced bread, then you know, that doesn't work as well for croutons, but it works great for stuffing turkeys and chickens and all that, and making ground breadcrumbs for breading fish or chicken or pork chops, whatever you might want it for. And then you need some beans, also a lemon, some olive oil, and of course some sea salt. If you have some parsley, it's good to use parsley. Maybe you have some fresh chives coming up, and that's really good to use in the salad. You need some kale, chopped kale, and I remove the stems for this kale salad, and I just go down each side of the stem with some scissors, kitchen scissors, and cut the stem right out. It's the easiest way for me. So just cut with the scissors, throw it into a bowl, and once I've cut them off the stem, then just chop it up. You can chop it up bigger or smaller, it's up to you, but throw that into a bowl. And then you have a little bit of lemon juice and a little bit of olive oil and some salt, maybe a little bit of garlic. But you can mix all that up together, or you can just sprinkle it on the salad, you know, a squeeze of some lemon juice. If you have a super juicy lemon, then you might only need half of a lemon, but pretty much a whole lemon. Squeeze that on top of your kale and some olive oil and some sea salt. And just run your hands through it and just loosen up the kale a little bit. If you just run your fingers through it and kind of massage the oil and lemon juice into the kale, it'll soften up and it won't be so tough and strong tasting. So loosen that up a little bit. Just takes about a minute. And then make some dressing. So I used some tahini, and you can make your own tahini. You look a recipe up on the internet. But I used tahini I had at home. The one thing I hate about tahini is how it always clumps down at the bottom of the tahini can, and then you have all of that fat at the top. And you know how you can buy no-stir peanut butter? I wish you could buy no-stir tahini, because every time I open up that can of tahini, like, the oil goes flying everywhere, and then you're stuck with the tahini on the bottom, and you're trying to, like, scoop it up with a spoon and mix it around. And you, of course, generally you're in a hurry, but so give yourself a little extra time to stir up that tahini, unless you're using it a lot. But you can make your own too. So use a little tahini and some minced garlic and some more lemon juice, and maybe juice from one lemon, also some salt and black pepper, a little bit of, you could use honey, or you could use maple syrup, 1 to 2 tablespoons of that. And that's your dressing. So basically, you have your softened kale, and I put a couple cans of white beans over that, and then homemade croutons, and I put a little bit of dressing on. You don't need much of the tahini dressing, and just mix it up. Mix a delicious salad, something a little bit, and serve with, if you want to serve it with some Parmesan cheese, you can. And if you want to store it, it's best to take out the croutons and store them separate because they'll get all mushy, but they'll just soak up some of that goodness. So that's a good kale salad to share with you, and that season's coming up, or maybe you've had kale all winter long. Also, this weekend I made some very chocolatey brownies, super chocolatey, triple chocolatey brownies. And I don't usually make that type of chocolatey goodness at home at my house because I eat more than everybody else of it, of the chocolate. So I try not to make too much, and I try to give a lot of it away if I do make it. But I made this triple chocolate brownie, and so I came up with something I really, really like. I'm not sure how I'm going to make it better. I thought maybe when I cut the brownies next time, I'll cut them individually and put the ganache over the top separately. So each brownie has its own little bit of ganache oozing out over the side. But yesterday was just an experiment. It's my test brownie, and I really like it. So I'm going to give you the recipe too, because I think you want to make them. You know, basically any recipe you find that's a good brownie recipe, you could use, but I wanted something that was really hearty and rich and somewhat gooey in the center, but not too much, like it was not, wasn't done. So you need some bittersweet chocolate, chopped baking chocolate, 6 to 8 ounces. I used 8 ounces, actually. I used an 8 ounce bar, and I used the whole thing. And then I also used, I wanted something different. And the reason I wanted to make chocolate brownies is because I've had some really good Mexican hot chocolate lately. And even though the chocolate wasn't from Mexico, but it was kind of a take off the Mexican chocolate. You know, it comes in discs, and it's kind of granulated with the sugar and the cinnamon. It's got spice in it and the cocoa. So when my husband was in Seattle, he picked up this box of all these different flavored discs that have this amazing flavor to it. And you use one disc when you're making some hot chocolate. It's a really good grown-up hot chocolate. And I had one the other night. I was like, whoa. And that's where the idea of some good brownies came. So for this brownie recipe, I used one disc of Mexican hot chocolate. You can get it in the grocery stores. Usually comes in a kind of a tall red and yellow box, and maybe there are 4 or 5 discs to each box. They're individually wrapped. And I used one whole disc in this. So I used one box of bittersweet sweet chocolate, which was 8 ounces, and then I used one round of the Mexican chocolate. Also, 3/4 cup of butter, 1.5 cups of sugar. I know it's a lot, but it is a dessert. 4 large eggs, which really help in the richness of this brownie. 1 teaspoon of salt, 1 cup of flour, and then 1 cup of chocolate chips. So there's your triple chocolate there. So you need to melt the bittersweet chocolate and the unsweetened chocolate, or the I use the Mexican chocolate. You can do that, you know, over simmering water in a metal bowl, or you can microwave it with the butter and until melted. So you have to take it out of the microwave and keep stirring, or just keep stirring on your stovetop over some boiling water. until it melts and it's nice and smooth. Then you remove it from the heat and let it cool till it's lukewarm. Then you stir in the sugar. And for this one, I didn't add vanilla. I added zest from one whole orange. And I had this really great orange from California that my brother-in-law sent. So I took the zest from one whole orange into that chocolate mixture and then squeezed some of the juice out. And that gave it a nice citrus flavor to it. And then you add the eggs one at a time and stir after every egg. Then you stir in your salt and your flour and just until combined, and that's it. You can either stir the chocolate chips in there, or you can put the chocolate chips on top after you pour it into a pan. So you can use a 9 by 13 inch baking pan for this. And you want it buttered and floured and prepared. And you can pour the mixture right into that. Or you can do what I did. I used a half sheet pan. And I actually, excuse me, made a double batch. So it worked great for a half sheet pan. And then I just sprinkled the chocolate chips over the top. And that's where it got really chocolatey. Put it in the oven. Bake at 350 for 35 minutes. And that worked perfect. Let it cool completely, and from there you can cut it into bars. You can sprinkle on some confectioner's sugar. But what I did with this brownie is I actually umped up the chocolate a little bit and made a ganache, which I know the word ganache sounds for some people like it's difficult, and it's really not. I just used some more chocolate chips that I had, a little bit of cream, same thing over the stove top with a little squeeze of orange juice in there from that orange, and made a nice orange ganache, and then just poured that over the top, smoothed it out, and sprinkled with a little bit of Malden sea salt flakes at the very end. And that was the final ta-da for these brownies, and I think they turned out great. I'm going to make them again. And that's the recipe. If you'd like me to write this recipe down for you, email mindy@kfsk.org, and I'll get it to you. So coming up next on KFSK, What's for Dinner? We're going to talk about falafel. That's up next. Support for What's for Dinner comes from Hammer and Wecon Grocery Store, offering an expanded organic produce selection, cheeses, meats, Italian breads, and special occasion cheesecake and birthday cakes in the deli. In the meat department, Duane's Famous Sausage, with staff happy to make those special cuts. Delivery and van service available, Hammer and Wecon Grocery Store, a Petersburg family-owned business since 1921. Welcome back to What's for Dinner. I'm your host, Mindy Anderson. Today we're talking about falafel. I just gave you a recipe for some really good brownies. And I love those recipes that call for one bowl. It's all in one bowl. Otherwise, you've got dishes all over the place. And if you have a small kitchen, it's difficult. No dishwasher, you know, the scenario probably. But love those brownies. And I also want to say that I think those brownies are better the next day. After they've had a chance to really sit overnight and the ganache, you know, dries up a little bit on top, it's, yeah, really good. All right, so we're going to get back here to falafel. And I just decided to talk about falafel today. I love the outside coating of falafel, and so many people want recipes for vegetarian food, and so falafel is vegetarian. Also, but for those of you who want something more with your falafel, who's to say you just can't throw in some ground chicken or something like that? Grind your own if you can. So you can do that if you really, really want to. But these are so flavorful, you just don't need to. And there are tons of great falafel recipes out there. And you can even buy falafel mix in a box and make your own that way. You don't have to make them from scratch, especially if you're in a big hurry. There's nothing wrong with getting some Near East falafel mix and whipping them up. But what do you do with falafel? Well, you can make a great sauce to dunk falafel in, so you can eat it as a snack. You can use falafel in some stews. You can make sandwiches out of them. You can put them in wraps. You can eat them with pitas. There's all sorts of things that you can do with falafel. And so I'm going to give you some examples of that and talk about the falafel a little bit. So it's full of protein, has lots of flavor. And this falafel recipe is using chickpea flour instead of grinding up the chickpeas, which even makes it easier. And you can get chickpea flour in town. But one thing you want to do with this chickpea flour is toast it a little bit. And you toast chickpea flour just like you toast seeds or nuts. You can toast it in a skillet, a hot skillet over your stovetop, and just stir it, and it'll have a nutty flavor, a toasted nutty flavor. And chickpea flour or garbanzo flour is super nutty anyway. And so you're going to make a fritter out of them. And many people fry their falafel. You don't have to. You can put the falafel in the oven and bake it too. So you can. This falafel mixture can be used either way. And with this falafel mixture, we're also going to use some quinoa in it. And it's a falafel with some quinoa. So one thing that you can do with the falafel, basically, if you want to make falafel on a Sunday, then you have it for the whole entire week to munch on, because you can put it into a salad. You just need some other things to go with it, some radishes, tortillas, cilantro, tahini, like I mentioned earlier with that salad, some rolls or buns. Also, those really small pitas work great. Some Greek yogurt. You can also make some tzatziki. You can use some yogurt with some cucumber and a little bit of garlic and some vinegar and make a nice dipping sauce. You can make some Romanesco sauce, which generally uses a nut like almond or hazelnuts and some tomatoes roasted and sometimes red pepper. Also, they're really good with eggs. So falafel can be used with lots of other food. So here is a recipe for falafel with quinoa. You need a half a cup of quinoa rinsed, plus you need a couple tablespoons of water, also some mung beans. And mung beans you can find in the grocery store. The couple ways that you can find them, I don't know if you can find them both ways here, but you can get whole mung beans. They're little green beans, little round beans. They're green. Sometimes you find yellow mung beans, and those are the mung bean without the shell or the hull, and they're yellow. They cook faster. They grind better. But whole mung beans are just fine for this. Also, some ground flaxseed meal. And if you don't have ground flaxseed meal, you can always grind your own flaxseed. And that's easy to find in the store. Also, some parsley. You want some chickpea flour or garbanzo bean flour. A shallot, chopped up. A couple cloves of garlic. Some fresh lemon juice. Sea salt. Also, cumin, nutmeg, some paprika, some turmeric, and some sesame seeds. Black is preferred, but if you only have white, that's fine too. It's pretty hard to find black sesame seeds around here. And then you need some extra virgin olive oil. So you're going to cook the quinoa in a cup of water for 12 to 14 minutes until it's cooked and the water has been evaporated and absorbed. Set that aside, and then fill a saucepan up with some water about 3/4 of the way up and add your mung beans to that and bring those to a boil and then turn down the heat and simmer those and cook them for 25 to 30 minutes until tender. And they're really going to puff up and double in size. And you want to drain that water. You can do this ahead of time, like the day before. Then in a small bowl, you're going to whisk together the flaxseed and the water. And that's going to become nice and thick. Remember that flaxseed meal is like an oil when you put it in foods. It really thickens things up. So let that sit for 10 minutes until thick. And then in the food processor, add your quinoa and your mung beans, your flaxseed mixture, parsley, the flour, the shallots, the garlic, some lemon juice, your salt and spices, and you're going to blend that until thoroughly combined and then transfer it to a bowl, stir in the sesame seeds, and let it sit for an hour or overnight. And it's really going to thicken up and become a nice thick paste. Preheat your oven to 375. We're going to bake these, or you can cook them in some oil. But line a couple baking sheets with parchment paper and pinch off golf ball size pieces and roll them between the palms of your hands to shape into a ball. You can also use like a tablespoon cookie scoop, which will make them nice and round, and place them on the baking sheets. And then if you want to fry them, you can put them back in the fridge for a few minutes and get your oil nice and hot. Otherwise, we're going to just brush them with some oil and bake them for about 20 to 25 minutes. And you want to flip the falafel about halfway through, maybe rotate the pan, and then serve them with some good sauce when they come out. Serve them nice and warm and garnish them with a little bit of parsley. It's great for an appetizer, or maybe you're going off to a potluck. So there you have it. And for a quick and easy Romanesco sauce, you need a couple of bell peppers. And red ones work great. You can buy them already charred and the skins off in a jar. And you could use those. You don't have to buy them and do their own. But if you want to, you're just going to put them on a baking sheet and broil them and turn them about every 30 seconds until the skins are black. And then put them in some plastic wrap or a Ziploc bag and let them steam in a bag so that you can peel off the skins. And then you cut the peppers. And you put the peppers and some garlic, some oil, also some toasted hazelnuts. If you don't have hazelnuts, you could use almonds and a little tahini, like we talked about earlier, some vinegar and paprika, salt. If you want a little bit of kick, you can use some cayenne. Put all that in a food processor and blend until creamy, and then you have a nice Romanesco sauce for that. And you can dunk your falafel in that. But you can also make a tzatziki, which I said works great with yogurt and some cucumber, a little bit of garlic, a little bit of olive oil, some salt, and a little bit of vinegar. And mix that up, and it makes a nice sauce, too. You could serve both of those sauces side by side with the falafel. So with the falafel, you can break it up, and you can make a salad. So having some salad greens would be great, mixed with some radishes and some avocados. You can make falafel tacos and warm up some tortillas with some avocado as well and some cilantro. You could make some nice slaw with cabbage and cilantro, some tahini and some spices, or some mayo and spices, and make falafel sliders. Also, you can put the falafel on a toasted piece of toast and kind of mash it down and put some maybe avocado over the top or a fried egg. Little bit of salt, that would be super good. So a lot of that you can do with falafel. If you fry them, then they get that fried coating on the outside that is crunchy, and then the falafel is a little soft in the middle, and that's really good. But since you're making falafel with, you know, if you buy a whole bag of chickpea flour, then you're going to have some chickpea flour left over because the falafel really doesn't use a whole lot of flour. There's a couple things that you can make with chickpea flour that you'll have left over. So you can make some chickpea fries and still use the tzatziki dipping sauce. To make the fries, you just need 4 cups of water and a couple cups of chickpea flour. And if you want to toast it, you can. Also some salt and some cumin, and you're going to need some vegetable oil for frying. And you just put the water in a pot with some salt. Bring it to a boil. Add your cumin to the chickpea flour and pour that into the water and whisk it until all the water is absorbed. About 2 to 3 minutes and you've made this nice paste. So it's going to be like polenta. Then you take it off the heat and then you just line a baking sheet with wax paper. You pour the chickpea mixture into that or some parchment. Spread it out evenly and set it aside so it firms up. You can put it in the refrigerator too. And then after about a half an hour, you can cut it into little pieces, like little rectangular pieces for fries. And then just fry that in your vegetable oil. And they'll be nice and golden brown and crispy on the outside and a little bit soft on the inside. And so there are some chickpea fries to try. I'm leaving that recipe out because I'm going to try that one. And I got that recipe from Just for Licks. Might want to check out that blogger. And then, believe it or not, I've made great crackers with chickpea flour before. Chickpeas and butter and cheese. You can make a great cheese cracker recipe with that. You can also substitute chickpea flour when you're making some fettuccine. You can check that out. Look that up. And then some really good crepes with chickpea flour and roasted vegetables in the oven on these crepes, maybe with some goat cheese or something like that. Really, really good. So to make the crepes, we've talked about those for the last couple weeks, a cup of chickpea flour and then a half a cup of all-purpose flour or some rice flour, 3/4 teaspoons of salt and 1 1/2 cup of water, also 2 teaspoons of olive oil plus extra for oiling the pan. So you're going to whisk the flours and salt together in a mixing bowl. Make a well in the center and then start whisking in the water and olive oil together and add those to the dry ingredients. You want to eliminate the clumps and put it in the refrigerator for about 1 to 4 hours. And then oil your frying pan on a medium, and then pour about a third of the cup of the batter and swirl it around in the pan. And just like any other crepe or pancake, until the small bubbles form, then you flip the crepe over, cook for another 1 to 2 minutes, and repeat with the remaining batter, and serve with whatever you want. Spring vegetable ragu. You can fill those crepes with all sorts of goodness. And if you want to, if you're somebody who likes lamb, or you want to put some chicken in there, that would be really good, like a Moroccan chicken with some chickpeas also and some yogurt. That sounds great. So that's it for falafel. It's kind of a short little section, but something to get you excited about checking out the falafel. If you don't want to try making them from scratch, just go ahead and try it in a box and see how you like it, and give it a try. Use it as an appetizer. Like I said, get some yogurt and make some Romanesco, or see what sauces you can find in the store that are pre-made that you want to give it a try with. Let me know how it turns out. Mindy@kfsk.org. Coming up next, the drink of the week here on What's for Dinner. Support for What's for Dinner comes from Keto's Cave and Liquor Store, with a large selection of beers, wines, brandies, and rums to cook with, accompany any meal or potluck, or for mixing in a new favorite drink. On Singly Alley and open 7 days a week. Welcome back to What's for Dinner. Time for the drink of the week. And this week I wanted to find a drink that had some tequila in it. And something a little bit different, but this isn't super different, but mild, and you can taste the tequila flavor. Uses some agave nectar, a little bit of basil. And now's a good time to grow your own basil, too. Here at the radio station, we have a lot of it growing in the windowsill. But this is from Complex.com, and this drink is called the Veracruzana. And you take 2 parts Reposado tequila, 0.75 parts of agave nectar, 1 part fresh lime juice, 4 pineapple chunks, and 2 basil leaves. So pretty simple, and those are the kind of drinks I really like that are simple. And I kind of know what that's going to taste like. You know, I've had lots of tequila drinks with pineapple before and lime, so I love that. And I love agave nectar in drinks. And then the addition of the basil, it's going to be delicious. So muddle the pineapple and the basil leaves in a shaker. Add the remaining ingredients and some ice. And shake vigorously. Strain into a rocks glass filled with fresh ice. Garnish with pineapple. So a nice ring of pineapple would be perfect, or a half ring. And throw in a little sprig of basil on the top. And that is a Veracruzana, the drink of the week. Today, for Sweet Tooth, I almost, decided not to share something for my Sweet Tooth today because I had those awesome brownies at the beginning of the show. But I ran across this recipe from Bon Appetit that looks so good. I had to share it with you. And I love zucchini bread. I love the idea of zucchini and bread, and I do have a great recipe that I've shared before. But what I like about this recipe is the zucchini bread with oats. And so I think, and it says here at Bon Appetit, it's less like a dessert, more like a breakfast for a slightly more virtuous quick bread. More like a breakfast, less like a dessert. Reduce the amount of granulated sugar to 1 cup. And so this is one of Bon Appetit's best recipes and a collection of their essential recipes. So I think this one's going to be pretty good. I would like to try something a little bit different than what I've had. And I love the addition of the oatmeal, because I love oats. So this makes 2 loaves. Which is nice. You keep one at your house and give one to a friend. You need a couple of walnuts. That's optional. 3 large eggs. And then also 1 cup of vegetable oil. If you want to substitute flaxseed meal, you would want to figure out what your substitution would be there. But you can substitute flaxseed meal easily for that vegetable oil. And 1 1/4 cup of granulated sugar. Remember, they said that you could knock that down. I would imagine also that you could substitute some honey as well. 1/2 cup of packed light brown sugar. 1 tablespoon of vanilla extract. 3 cups of all-purpose flour. 1 1/2 teaspoons of kosher salt. And then 1 teaspoon of ground cinnamon. 1 teaspoon of baking soda. 1 teaspoon of baking powder. And 1/4 teaspoon of freshly grated nutmeg. 3 1/2 cups of coarsely grated zucchini. And a little side note from about 1 pound of zucchini. Love, love, love. I love zucchini in pancakes. I like it in bread and with the oats. Delicious. And then 1 1/2 cups of old-fashioned oats divided. 3 tablespoons of raw sugar. That's for a little bit for the top. So preheat your oven to 350, spray your loaf pans with nonstick spray, and line them with parchment paper. And then spread the walnuts on your baking sheet and toast them lightly for about 8 to 10 minutes, and then coarsely chop them if you're using walnuts. Then whisk the eggs, the oil, the granulated sugar, the brown sugar, and the vanilla in a large bowl. Whisk in the flour, salt, cinnamon, baking soda, baking powder, and nutmeg in another large bowl, just until it's combined. Make a well in the center of the dry ingredients and add the egg mixture. Slowly incorporate the dry ingredients with a fork. It says here the batter will look dry. Fold in the zucchini, the walnuts, and the 1 cup of chopped oats. Scrape the batter into prepared pans. And the zucchini is going to start like sweating a little bit too. So you're going to get some moisture from there. And that's one thing about zucchini and and that, you know, it does have a lot of moisture in it. So I like that this has a drier batter to begin with. Toss the raw sugar and the remaining quarter cup of oats in a small bowl, sprinkle over the batter, bake until a tester inserted in the center comes out clean, 7 to 80 minutes. Transfer the pans to a wire rack and let the bread cool in their pans for 30 minutes. Turn the bread out onto a rack and let cool completely. It also says that the bread can be baked 4 days ahead of time, store tightly wrapped at room temperature. You can check this recipe out on Bon Appetit. It's the zucchini bread with oats. And it really, well, of course, the photo looks fantastic. But it's definitely one we're going to try here. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoyed the show. We'll be back next week. Try to make some falafel. And if you want that brownie recipe, email mindy@kfsk.org. And don't forget the Veracruzana for these nice sunny evenings we're going to have coming up. You might want that. Happy eating, happy cooking.